Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
There's no big energy coming out of the Democratic Party.
Shock, disgust, happiness, sweat, a little bit of lust, baby.
It's go time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see it when I see it, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Well, may very well be time for Mark Reardon time, George Shea, but Mark Reardon is not ready right now as I kind of start the show in the third person. It's just been one of those days. How is everyone this afternoon? Fred's already known that I'm discombobulated.
Uh-oh.
This is crazy, Sue. You know what time I woke up this morning? Take
don't,
a stab.
Don't
take
try
a stab.
This with me because I get up at the 4.
Well, I'm not trying to rub it in because actually it wasn't necessarily a good thing. Well, how do you know I didn't get up early? I
just because said, you're you.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You want to take a stab at it, though?
Okay. 6?
I usually get up around between 7:15 and 7:45, typically.
6.
Go in the other direction.
9?
I slept till 9:30.
I can't even.
Well, there's a reason, though. I kind of OD'd on my meds last night. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm having these sleep issues, and there's one medication that I take. Look, this is all with the blessing of my shrink. And I'm already freaked out about Greece because I'm going to Greece in a few weeks, and I'm worried about sleeping. So my brain is working in that way. But she's kind of given me permission. She's like, well, just kind of take as much as you think you need to see how it doesn't affect you the next day. Well, apparently it affected me the next day because I didn't wake up. I mean, I got to tell you, I was so shocked when I looked. My phone had died, and I get up in the kitchen. I'm like, oh, my God, it's like 9:25. Fred, I'm surprised you didn't do a wellness check on me.
Fred is trying not to.
Fred just literally you.
Because
lost
typically, well, typically I would.
You broke me up on that one. Well, I should have thought about that.
Honestly,
I didn't think about that.
If it was 10,
sorry.
If it was 10:30, you might have though, because typically I would never wait that long to check in with you.
Yeah, we had a pretty solidly booked show today, so I didn't really need to talk to you too early.
Well, that's probably true because the message said we're.
So
all
what were you
up.
Doing when Fred was gone and I wasn't responding to you until like 9:30?
Also, okay.
I hate all of you. I just want to say that.
Sorry, Sue.
We love you,
but
Sue.
Anything that happens today, I'm going to blame on just being groggy because I think I might have overdone it a little bit.
There is a story out today that says that for better sleep, that they've done studies and think that adults should sleep with teddy bears or something like that is soft and cuddly, and it will help you go to sleep.
That's a Sue's News fact.
It
is. That's what that is.
Believe it or not, I have something along those lines. I have this is true. I have this Mizzou Tiger pillow. It's yellow. It's kind of in the shape of a tiger, but it's a very small pillow. But it's kind of my little cuddly pillow,
right,
if you will.
You got to have a cuddly pillow.
Right.
Fred, you got one?
I have a real live dog.
Oh,
see, the dogs are cuddly with me, too.
Does it have to be like a stuffed animal, or can it be like a pillow? Because I just like to wrap a pillow.
It can be a pillow, but they say the stuffed animal is nice, too.
My wife has a few extra to give out if you need it. She probably sleeps with three or four of them.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Hey, here's a question. What time do you think you'd have to wake up, like if you were a greeter at Walmart or something like that? Because based on the stock market today, that might be where I'm heading here in a few years. for a job. I'm just because
you
I don't think I'm going
to
be able to retire.
Understand. It's the long game. You cannot panic every day.
So it's funny because Ethan, you know, works with the previous show as well, and they did a poll today, right? What was the poll question, Ethan? You remember what the poll question
was? Are you spooked by the stocks, basically?
Now, I was amazed
stock season.
By the results here because I would have totally guessed wrong. Fred, have you heard the results?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so this is a good quiz. So the question is, are you spooked by the stock market? And if you haven't seen the stock market today, you have no money left, so just so you know that. But are you... what would the percentage be?
Sue,
do you know the answer here?
No, what,
okay,
what
I want
question?
You to guess. The question is... She was busy giving Carl his Sue's News t-shirt. That was a priority this afternoon.
Yes.
Carl, man, he like stalked the studio before he goes over to the Blues game.
Yeah. Well, he said I was supposed to meet him, and then I was sitting in that studio in a time warp.
So it's okay. But the question, Ethan, is what?
Are you spooked by the stocks?
I would say it's an 80-20 issue.
Wait, no, it's not a question for you, Sue. It was a question for Andy's audience. So what do you think? Are people spooked or not? What would the number be? What percentage?
Yes or no?
Just today or in
general? Yeah, no, just today. Like, yeah.
Spooked? I don't know. 70?
Would say yes,
yes
or not.
Yes or no.
That they would be spooked.
Okay. Fred?
80.
Exactly the opposite.
20%. Good. 21%.
People are smarter than
that
I thought.
Were,
I don't know about that.
Yep, they are.
Over 300 votes, too.
Good. So. That's good because it's the long game, people.
Well, the long game is getting a lot shorter for Fred and I, let me tell you. Here's where I am. Let's kind of have a serious conversation. And I'm going to tell you, outside of sleeping until 9:30, I have been on the phone with people almost nonstop, mostly people yelling at me, arguing with me about tariffs, et cetera. And I've been going through this either last night or this morning because
these people?
Well, these are friends of mine. I won't name names. Political types. People who know stuff.
Right.
Okay. So I, you know, some people like to bend my ear because they know that they can. Others, I go out and I try to find information, right?
Right.
So I talk, one person that I touch base with on a regular basis is John Lamping. John's a friend. We've been friends for, you know, probably 16 years. He's a smart guy. He's a financial guy, right? And he's on the roundtable all the time. So we talked through it a little bit. He has certainly the perspective that this is the long game. I'm fine with this being the long game. And by the way, I had a friend last night that was yelling at me about all this. Well, Trump says he's going to fix this, he's going to do this, and he's going to do it right away. Why isn't he doing it? Okay, that's fine. I get. And these are not people that voted for Trump, all right? So there's going to be some understanding there. I said, that's fine, but why can't anyone at this point, let's say, give it a few months, right? Because as I pointed out, I don't know where the market landed today. I think it's around 40-something, but it was at 42 in October, and it built back up. We hit 45 no matter when that was. It doesn't matter. The market does go back and forth. There's fluctuations. A lot of people, even before Trump was elected and all this tariff stuff started, we're talking about maybe a correction. We're already talking about a recession is possible. That can't be laid at the feet of Trump, although they'll try to do it because a lot of that will be residual from last year. My position would be I am jittery. I'm jittery about the economy because here's what I know.
But
I know that if we sit here in 6 months or a year or certainly a year and a half, and this economy is staggering and it's not going well. Look, here's the promise that's made by Trump. I hope he's right. I do. You know what that bite was called?
Trump today.
Let's see here. Because he's making the case that, you know, people should be. I can't find that one.
Great.
No, people should be patient. Where is that one?
That's the whole thing. Plus, you can't.
Fred, come over here. See if you can.
Well, you do
because my eyes are just not seeing
you. You can't be all riled up all the time. Plus, we have had decades of doing the wrong thing. It's going to take a little bit of pain and adjustment to get to where we should be. But if you just be calm and go through it, it'll
be decades
fine.
Of doing what wrong thing?
Well, we are letting people screw us on tariffs on U.S. stuff, and we haven't done it back. And now that we're trying to make things a little more equal, there will probably be some pain before it pays off.
But you understand my point that a little bit of pain is going to be fine.
Yeah.
But if there's too much pain that's inflicted,
you're borrowing
we won't
trouble.
Get a Republican that's going to get a vote at all in 2022.
But
if this economy, well, sure, everything's an if. But isn't it a big if that we're going to be rocking and rolling into, you know, new territory with the economy in 16 or 18 months? That's a risk, too.
Well, it all is. So you might as well do the right risk and see if doing the right thing works.
I'm not convinced that this is the right risk. I'm not big on these tariffs. We're going to have Andrew Hale here in a couple of minutes. I get what they're saying. There's smarter people than me that are in the room. But guess what? There's a lot of smart people out there that are worried about this, too. There's Rand Paul, who's a Republican, who is screaming at the top of his lungs that this is idiotic to do this, because if you look at American history, this has not ended very well. But I do like Senator Kennedy's explanation, because one of the things that I've admitted, and I think Kilmeade did this yesterday on the show as well, I'm not going to sit here and try to fake you out to act like I know exactly how this stuff is all going to go down and working, right. Mainly because nobody can do that right now. Now, we're going to see if Andrew Hale can do it. This is his area of expertise.
Okay.
Economists can do it. But nobody really knows. You can say, well, we got to even the play. Nobody knows how this is going to work out, and they don't really understand what's happening right now. So let's just accept that and hope that some people are doing the right thing. But Senator Kennedy kind of breaks it down this way, and I think he knocks it out of the park on this first soundbite.
Tariffs are like whiskey. A little whiskey under the right circumstances can be refreshing. Too much whiskey under the wrong circumstances, and you end up drunk as a goat.
That's where I'm concerned that we're heading. Now, he's pointing out that this is part of negotiation, perhaps.
If you want a surefire investment, go book as many rooms as you can at the Hay Adams Hotel across from the White House, because every foreign trade representative is going to be coming to America to meet with the Trump administration, try to negotiate.
Yeah, I don't think he's wrong there. I think he's nailed it one more.
So it'll be 3 or 4 months before we know what the final tariffs are going to be. We're in uncharted waters. Tariffs are more art, in my opinion, than science.
Yeah, I think he's nailed it. Look, so he's saying a couple of different things. I think there is a warning there that we best be careful, because too much of this might not be a good thing, and then we're in trouble. But on the other hand, let's take a little time. Let's be patient. I even had our boss texting me last night, because he wanted to see where I was on this stuff personally. But he also was curious, because he's looking at the stock market. And I was honest. I said, look, I'm not going to try to make it seem like I'm behind something that I'm really not behind. But I'm also open to the possibility that they're doing some of the right things. This is a reshaping, certainly,
right,
of the global economy, if you want to call that. Now, that's not an easy thing, and I don't think we can sit here. Let's just put it this way. In 4 years, when we vote for president, will we have this reinvigorated new manufacturing base in this country?
Don't
Doubtful.
Know.
No, I'd say we're not going to. Now, will that happen in 30 years, because this is the long game?
Right.
Well, maybe the answer to that question is yes. But that means a lot of pain, perhaps, in the meantime. The other thing you have to worry about here, the 15% of people that said that they're not worried about the stock market, I wonder if they're not worried about the fact that prices might go up considerably on some of the products. Now, look, I get it. Maybe some of the prices come down. That's fair. That's why when people are yelling at me like they were yesterday on the phone, I said, can we not, for the love of God, give this guy a few months to figure this
right
out? Can we? My marker at this point has kind of been August. Not that everything needs to be done by then, but I do think that after a few months, to Senator Kennedy's point, maybe we'll have a little bit better idea. Here's the other thing, and this is what I had to say to these, you know, lefty friends. All of this is being viewed through the lens of the legacy lefty media. So you ain't getting the whole picture,
right,
if you're watching CNN or you listen to NPR. They're going to do everything in their power to make this look like it's the worst economic decision in history, that the economy is falling apart, that, you know, Republicans are jumping ships.
So panic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I get that. I get that better than most people. But I can't sit here and tell you that I'm not concerned about a significant downturn in the stock market and beyond the stock market, because I get a lot of people don't have 401ks. Beyond that, the prices in this country. Now, we got gas prices coming down a little bit. That's good. Egg prices coming down a little bit. Maybe the Fed, who kind of sat on their hands last week, they reduce interest rates. That would be a good thing, but that's also a sign that the economy is not, you know, very hot right now. So it's very complicated. But I'm not going to lie and tell you that I'm not nervous, because I am.
All right.
I think we do have President Trump, where he's talking about this. I think. Didn't he just put this in here? Here we go. No, that's on TikTok. You guys are killing me here just because I can't see it. I think that, Ethan, if you're listening, I don't know what I'm doing, Fred. I feel like I'm flailing here because I thought I just saw him put this audio in. Let me kind of lay out the show. Ethan, did you put that one in there? Where is it if you put it in there? I honestly cannot see it. My eyes are not seeing it right now. Ah, way at the top. Okay, there we go.
I think it's going very well. It was an operation, like when a patient gets operated on. And it's a big thing. I said this would exactly be the way it is. We have $6 or $7 trillion coming into our country, and we've never seen anything like it. The markets are going to boom. The stock is going to boom. The country is going to boom. And the rest of the world wants to see, is there any way they can make a deal? They've taken advantage of us for many, many years. For many years, we've been at the wrong side of the ball. And I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be unbelievable. The thing that people have to talk about, we're up almost to $7 trillion of investment coming into our country. And you'll see how it's going to turn out. Our country's going
to
boom.
All right. So where is a good place to replay that soundbite? Is it a year from today? Is it 9 months from today? Is it a year and a half right before the midterms? Because when you make promises like that, and I know that the left picks on Trump all the time, and he has a lot of things where he says, we're going to fix this. You know, the first day we're in office, the Ukraine war, I think some of these things are still going on. So I got to be a little fair here because, ladies and gentlemen, and I think you would be doing the same thing. If you got someone else in there and they're from a different party and they're making all these promises and the promises aren't resulting in action, which, by the way, I think Trump is doing most of his promises, but on the economy, I think you're justifiably correct in questioning some of that if it doesn't result in booming. He's making promises that all this is going to boom. God, I hope he's right. I will celebrate that during the 250th anniversary of our country next year. We will have a great celebration. I will admit that all of my concerns were false. I shouldn't have worried about how much money I'm going to have in retirement. But, if we're not there in a year and if things are cratering in the economy and this is not working, then what? Well, I'll tell you what. Democrats will control Congress, they'll control the Senate, and they'll be on a pretty good path to have the White House again in 2028. So we better hope that this is all going to work because there are big consequences for the American people. There's big consequences for Republicans. I never got to really talk about Wisconsin yesterday because we had the president on in the first hour. A couple of lessons from Wisconsin. But this has no, what happened in Wisconsin with this Supreme Court race really has nothing to do with a reflection on where the administration is or Trump or Republicans. It really isn't. But what it did show is there's a lot of people, whether they're in Wisconsin, in Alabama, in Missouri, I don't care where they are, they simply will not come out to vote unless Donald Trump is on the ballot. The differences in the vote total in Wisconsin between November during the presidential year last year and what happened on Tuesday was 1 million votes. That's a lot of people. 1 million fewer people decided to sit at home and not cast a ballot. And by the way, 680,000 of them voted for Trump in November. 680,000 people voted for Trump that didn't come out and vote in this race. Now, some of that's human nature. People go out for presidential races. I've always felt a lot of people are intimidated. You know, they don't want to vote in a school board race or something else. It's not maybe because they don't care, but they don't feel like they know enough about the issues. And let's face it, the message for voters, if you're in Wisconsin, which is weird because they elect Supreme Court judges, if the message to the voters is, well, if we've got to win this Brad Schimmel, the Republican, because otherwise Republicans will have themselves written out of congressional districts and they will gerrymander. Nobody knows what that means. They don't get that. Most voters don't understand. You use the word gerrymander. They don't know what it is. Most of the people listening right now doesn't know what it is. So you lose people in that. Elon Musk goes in way late, way late. I don't think it's any anti-Musk sign at all. It's just that people, it's a liberal state. This is not, yeah. I live there, okay? Brown County. I love Brown County because it's up there where Green Bay is and in that neck of the woods. Beautiful part of Wisconsin. Real liberal. Real. And they went heavily, heavily for the liberal candidate in this. But here's another thing that happened. And I don't know if you know about this because a lot of people weren't dialed into this. Do you know that there was something else on the ballot in Wisconsin?
I haven't heard of that. No.
Fred, you knew that, right?
No.
Yeah. Voter ID. No. Voter ID was on the ballot in Wisconsin. And, you know, what's funny about that is I left Wisconsin in 2006. And in the early part of the 2000s, we fought hard for voter ID in Wisconsin. And it you know, was always the same thing that happens here. It's unconstitutional. How can you force someone to actually prove who they are when they vote? Well, overwhelmingly passed in Wisconsin. Wasn't even close. They changed their constitution. And the numbers here in this particular case, so let's face it, you had a lot of people voting for common sense, and they also voted for Justice Crawford, which doesn't make any sense because Susan Crawford once called voter ID a poll tax. So they vote for voter ID and they vote for the woman who calls it a poll tax, who is going to give probably liberals the majority in Congress in Wisconsin. So it's all very complicated, but I'm going to just be honest about some of the stuff here today with the tariffs, and we'll see where some of this takes us. And we'll talk about it coming up with Andrew Hale from Heritage. All right, I've admitted I need to be kind of talked down from the cliff on the tariffs. Here's Howard Lutnick.
People are going to start building factories right now, and that means all that construction work begins now. That starts to employ Americans today. You're going to see plants being built, factories rebuilding. All shifts are going to be running hot across America now. You're going to see employment leaping starting today.
So look, my point in the monologue, and I'll expand it here with that, is those are some big promises that are being made. And it's not going to be too tough in the future to figure out if those promises were accurate or not. So I will admit, and I did so from the very beginning here on the show, that this is an area with this particular administration that I am not comfortable with. And I don't understand all the implications, which is why we call folks like Andrew Hale, who's a senior trade policy analyst with Heritage, into service this afternoon. Hey, Andrew, how are you this afternoon?
Thank you so much for having me.
We had you on a few weeks ago, so maybe best to explain what exactly happened yesterday with the tariffs. And we aired that announcement 24 hours ago, you know, live, and the president said it was coming, so it wasn't like we didn't know this was coming. But explain what he did with the tariffs, first and foremost, perhaps.
Well, the first thing, as he was reading this out, I was trying to figure out the methodology behind these tariffs and how they came to their calculations for the tariffs. And as I gradually looked at, I first looked at it and I said, my gosh, I mean, they've given the same tariff percentage for Switzerland, a total free trade country, as well as Brazil, which is a total protectionist, you know, banana republic country. I was like, where are they going with this? And I couldn't understand this. I said, this isn't reciprocal. And then I took a more careful look at it. I said, they didn't actually calculate tariff rates and non-tariff barriers as they said they did. And instead of every country for every country, they just took our trade deficit with that country and divided it by the exports to us. And that is not what we were promised. Okay? That's really serious. And I'll tell you, our trade deficit is the flip side of a demand for our assets. So, for example, instead of exchanging exported goods for imported goods, we make a lot of financial assets. The whole world wants to invest in them. And, you know, President Trump, like we all want to seek foreign investment for the United States, you know, to create jobs, et cetera, but yet some deride trade deficits. And I don't feel it makes sense, because if you have a capital account surplus, you must have an equal and opposite sign current account deficit. And most of the current account is in trade in goods and services. So we were promised something yesterday and we didn't get it. We got something very different, and it's having a devastating effect on the economy.
So let's back up a little bit on what the differences might be between what was maybe promised and what happened yesterday, because this is very easy to get lost on because it's complicated. So if you can you break that down as far, because you're not anti-tariff, right?
Well, I believe tariffs have a very useful purpose. You know, they're legal instruments. There's many different kinds. It really depends on the circumstance. And they basically apply to sort of one size fits all to, you know, they're relying on IEEPA, which is another problem. That's the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. And so he did reference 301, which, of course, would be the tariff for unfair practices. And there are unfair practices. But they're relying upon emergency power legislation. And where there's an undefined emergency, I think a judge might slap this down. And the fact that the legislation they're using was never intended to be used for terrorists when Congress gave that power to the president in 1977. It's never been used to employ terrorists before, and the word tariff doesn't even appear in the legislation. So again, I mean, I think that this could be one of the other things that might get slapped down the courts, even by a Republican judge. So there's a question about whether what they're doing is even legal. Again, we were promised, if, for example, you take the United Kingdom, they have 10% tariff on our Florida oranges, but they don't produce Florida oranges. They can't grow oranges there. So why do they have a 10% tariff on it? Their food's already too high. Their people have a crisis. You know, so that is a situation where you say, fair, you have an unfair practice, and we're going to tariff you in response for that.
That makes
sense.
That's
just one small. That makes sense. That's not what we got. So Israel said right before this announcement, they said, we're going to now get rid of all tariffs against U.S. goods. They actually had very little. It was like basically not giving up very much at all. But the problem is, this really isn't just about tariffs, because they're actually talking about the trade deficits we have with countries. And we were told that this was about reciprocal tariffs. And we didn't really get that. And there was a lot of other problems that I felt with what was happening yesterday. Particularly, there were some serious problems with the delivery of this.
But couldn't you sit back and say that, okay, wait a second, everybody hyperventilates whenever Trump does anything. There are pretty smart people in the room. They've talked about this for a while. We need to give it a little time to see how things settle down, and maybe this is part of negotiation.
Part of negotiations, fair enough, and that's what I've really encouraged him to do, and he did that his first term, and as president, he's entitled to use the 301 unfair practice tariff, 201, which is like anti-dumping threats to our economy, and then the 232 tariff, which of course would be the national security threats. He used those his first term very effectively. I applauded him, and I voted for him because I believe in his mission, I believe in his policies, and these were policies I felt he could use these as a very important tool of negotiation, of basically an instrument of statecraft, mm-hmm. as well as economic coercion to get our allies to do the right thing, deal with the fentanyl, deal with the illegal migration crisis, spend more on NATO defense. We shouldn't be paying for the rest of the world. I get it. But this isn't what we got yesterday, and there's a more serious problem. The tariff levels from these tariffs take us back to the highest levels of protection in the U.S. over 100 years, and we may very well get a recession. If these tariffs are maintained, as well as high inflation, this might provide a major victory for the Democrats in 2026, and also I think it's going to create internal warfare amongst conservatives, and it may derail the very things that I voted for. I voted for President Trump in all the primaries. I voted for him in all the general elections, and I want him to deal with all the anti-woke stuff and the government waste and the trillions in debt that the Democrats have given us. And we need tax cuts, but that will not matter politically if people suffer this sort of hardship.
Hey, look, you just did my entire monologue in like 60 seconds. Congratulations. I should have shortened it up because that was part of my message here earlier. There are political implications of this. But then, you also have to sit back and say, this guy, he's a financial guy, President Trump. He doesn't want the stock market to fall apart. He doesn't want the economy to crater. Look, he's making out right now like there's going to be a boom. He's predicting a boom. But you're going to have to hold his feet to the fire on that, because we're going to know if there's a boom and if there's not a boom.
Yeah, and I think he's been badly advised, because, I'll say this, I have great trust in President Trump, but, markets, banks, and businesses want certainty and clarity. If you have a small business or a big business, you need to be able to plan so you can invest for the future. Everyone, even personal investment, everyone has been asking in all of this, where is this going? And we didn't get a clear plan yesterday. Business, banks, markets need clarity, and we need that. Yesterday we received, I'm going to be very open, we received a clown show instead of reciprocal tariffs. Whoever made up that list of countries need to take a remedial course in like world geography. It was embarrassing. Whoever vetted that list before it was released had they got some serious questions to answer. The herd in McDonald Islands mentioned in that are uninhabited by humans. What are they going to do? Tear up the penguins and their pebbles
as
their currency?
Yeah.
At the present, there were so many other places they mentioned. There one was a British Indian Ocean Territory, which is a U.S. naval base that we lease, and all the people living there are U.S. servicemen and women, and the stuff there in the commissary is all from America. So this was the president deserves better support, and the ad men has behaved like a banana public yesterday. I recall scenes like this when I used to work at emerging markets, and it doesn't go well. He needs to, whoever made up that list, I mean it, whoever vetted it and whoever sent it out to the public deserves to give the president and all of us an apology. And I say that as a proud American.
And I just wonder if, because what we have seen, in the couple months that we've had this administration, there have been some mistakes made, and they have been corrected. But I here's one thing I know. I know that these members of Congress are getting an earful, and they're getting an earful along these lines, whether it's from constituents, economists, or other people. I don't know, and we have Senator Schmidt out there from Missouri. He's a friend. He's defending the tariffs, and he's very consistent on that. But there's going to be feedback, right? And not all the feedback is going to be positive right now.
It is, and I think this is it. Look, Americans, unlike some other nations, have been more apt to send their troops abroad and go to war and sustain war. But even if we look at the Gulf War, eventually they get war fatigue. And I think we're eventually going to get tariff fatigue on this as well. Already today, the big auto manufacturers in Detroit have already started to announce layoffs. I was talking, for example, to a heritage donor called me up. He was very upset and concerned. He has a company in Ohio. He employs 300 people. And he says, Andrew, I have had to lay off one-third of my workforce, 100. He says, I take great pride in the fact that I pay my workers more than the average, and I provide employment, and these are breadwinners. And he said, "This is, I sit on the Republican Committee for Ohio. I helped President Trump and J.D. Vance get elected. I gave them money, and I feel I have now worked towards the economic decline of my own business and those who depend upon me." And this is serious. This is really serious.
Well, I think it's serious, too, and we're going to continue to have conversations about it. But, Andrew, I appreciate you jumping on here with me this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
All right, it's take care. Let me, and I'll kind of share what Rand Paul said yesterday as well. I kind of heard a little bit of this when I was leaving the station, and maybe I should have the audio. He goes, look, tariffs had led to political decimation. We can talk about the economic angle of this, which is certainly serious. It affects a lot of people. There are politics involved here, and I suppose I would ask people who think this is all going to be rosy is, what's going to happen if everything flips in 2 years? Because any kind of successes that you might score here in the first 8 months, the first 9 months, the first year, those are going to be peeled back very quickly. Now, the president and his team are keenly aware that the midterms are going to come up relatively quickly, which is why they're wasting no time in doing this. So it's not an accident that things are happening very, you know, expeditiously, but that's part of the plan because they understand politically. I'm pretty sure there's people in there saying, hey, you know, about a year and a half, if we don't have this thing settled, we're not going to get votes. So Paul says when former President William McKinley put tariffs on in the 1890, right, they lost 50% of their seats in the national election, Republicans. When Smoot-Hawley put the tariffs on in the early 30s, which, by the way, made the, you know, the Depression worse, we lost the House and the Senate for 60 years. So Rand Paul's position, perhaps closer to my position on this, they're not only bad economically, they're bad politically. We're going to have to see. It's maybe way too early to make decisions on this, but we're going to track it for sure. Hey, you know what else is going on? They may sell TikTok this weekend. George Rosenthal from Throttle It will weigh in on that next. All right, let's talk a little bit about TikTok because a deadline is approaching.
Now, TikTok, we have a lot of potential buyers. There's tremendous interest in TikTok.
Oh, that was a quick bite. I thought that was going to go a little longer. Here's that caught me off guard. There's this really good commercial out there. Have you seen this, Sue, with this business owner who is, you know, just bragging about TikTok and how TikTok expanded his entire career? I think it might be sampled here.
7.5 million U.S. businesses rely on TikTok to compete.
Within a week of posting, I had over $25,000 in sales.
I don't have $1 million to put towards marketing and branding. TikTok was the way, and it saved my company.
We had a video do really good this week. Sales were up 29%.
About 80% of my business right now is from TikTok.
Small businesses thrive on TikTok.
Yeah, so they're running a promotion just because of, you know, pointing to the fact that a lot of people depend on TikTok. Now, I don't have TikTok on my phone.
Me neither.
I see the TikToks that are on Twitter that people put on Twitter, but I have an anti-TikTok policy in my house. But I do understand that people use it in different ways. But let's hook up here with George Rosenthal with ThrottleNet because he's always great to kind of walk us through this. This deadline is approaching on Saturday. George, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Good to hear you guys again.
So where are we with all this? Because we talked about it like months ago, and then we talked about months ago before that, and now here we are talking about it months after that, and now this deadline is Saturday.
I can't believe we've been the time has gone by this fast. The deadline is Saturday, and that was an extension. The actual official deadline was January 19th, and then when Trump got in, he extended it by 75 days. Now, he loved TikTok. He definitely benefited a lot. He got a lot of great stuff out of TikTok. But the law is correct in that it is a very dangerous app and what it collects and what it gives to the Communist Party of China. So the law that was created is very long-winded. It's Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. That is quite the app.
Yes, it is.
But that is going to start regulating foreign apps that work inside the country and what types of data they're collecting. So I'm kind of happy about that just to keep us all safe. The big deal here, though, is either the president does another extension, but I'm pretty sure they're going to get a deal done. 4 hours ago, J.D. Vance came out and said that they will have a deal. He's confident they'll have a deal by Saturday. And there's two ways this can go. One, they're trying to get ByteDance, which is the parent company, to lease the algorithm to a U.S. company. And the problem with that is it's still going to be ByteDance's algorithm. They can change and manipulate the way they want and then lease it to the American company. So they still can collect data in a certain way, and that's still not the best option. The other option that they're looking at is that there's a complete spinoff company with ByteDance being the minority owner. So they wouldn't have as much say in how the whole system runs, but they would still get revenue from it. They would still have some ties to the Chinese government. So either way this goes, it's not going to be a full-on, a U.S. company's buying ByteDance.
In all the coverage that I see, like I have a Washington Post piece that says Trump team has weighed deal to save TikTok that would leave algorithm in Chinese ownership. Everything that you're describing, I've seen in some other pieces too. Here's what I haven't seen. I never see the Chinese government or ByteDance sort of respond to see, and there really isn't any indication if they're willing to go for this stuff, right?
Yeah. So yes, in fact, I'm glad you brought that up. The one thing I definitely wanted to point out was that while the law passed, and Trump was getting elected and then, of course, inaugurated. And then now here we are. The whole time that they were doing that, the Chinese government passed their own rules and they imposed export controls on technologies that provide specific algorithms that gather data. So the whole leasing the algorithm thing to a U.S.-based company probably won't fly with the Communist Party because they've already put controls in place during the time that we passed the law up till now. Mm. So it's probably going to end up where ByteDance owns a minority share of whatever this new company is called. Now, the investors are Blackstone has been thrown out. There's a venture capital company called Andreessen and Horowitz. Amazon is in the ring here. There's some major, major players as to how this is all going to work out. But the rumors are that ByteDance will have some sort of say in how the future goings of TikTok evolve.
But you think there will be a deal, but would the scenarios, see if this is accurate, the scenarios would be, one, the deadline's extended again, two, they reach a deal, three, they don't reach a deal, and then TikTok is banned?
That's the law as it stands right now,
right.
And that is U.S. federal law. If Trump does nothing by Saturday and the deadline goes away, now he can put an executive order and put another 75 days on it, or whatever that may be, or whatever the law says at that point. But yes, to answer your question, the third option is TikTok is gone, which is devastating for, I mean, half the country is using TikTok. I agree with you.
I'm the outlier.
I don't use
me
it.
Too.
Yeah.
But here's what Trump said also. He goes, this is the Washington Post piece. Trump has floated the possibility of tying a TikTok deal to a broader trade negotiation with China, suggesting that he could reduce tariffs if Beijing were to approve the deal. I'm a very flexible person. He said, maybe I'll take a couple of points off if I get approvals for something. So, I don't know how much that plays into it. But obviously, it seems like they're working on getting some sort of deal.
But isn't that is the tell right there. That tells you that the Communist Party is involved intimately with ByteDance and TikTok. Because if he's willing to throw some bones to let them lease out the algorithm, see, that would never be an issue in capitalism in the United States. There may be, commerce rules or then looking into monopolies and make sure that. But as far as leasing an algorithm to another a company in a different country, we would not get involved with. So that tells you right there, the Communist Party has their hands deeply inside of this app and what data they're collecting. So this is not a safe app. I know some people are like, well, I still have to make my living. I agree with you. You still got to make your living, but you also got to be careful what you're giving
absolutely
to other people.
Absolutely. All right, George. Hey, thanks for the update. We may have even a further one tomorrow or Monday, so we might get you back, but thank you so much.
Sounds great. You guys have a great rest of the week.
All right, take care. Sue's News is coming up. Before that, I will explain how I all of a sudden seemingly became a horse owner today, Sue.
What?
Oh, you're going to be fascinated by this story. It's coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.